Again, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Looking at verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The fourth verse marks the halfway point of the psalm and is a transition point in the psalm. And that continues down into verse 5. You'll notice verse 4, there's comma, and then it goes into verse 5. So it's a transition. Transition, of course, is the process of change. It can be a change in place, can be a change in state, can be a change in condition, change in ourselves. And for the child of God, earthly life, of course, is our traveling days. And those days consist of a great variety of transitions. Some of these transitions can be difficult. They are for the benefit of the sheep. And through them all, the Lord is my shepherd. That is, He leads through these transitions, not to destroy His sheep, His people, but to benefit His people. And that's brought out very clearly in verses 4 and 5. So it is this point in the psalm, verse 4, there appears to be a change. There's definitely a change in the tone of the psalmist that's identified by that word, yea. Yea. There's a change. There is a change in tone. The word yea means not only so, but. So, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not only so, but. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, that is not only so, but there's more. And verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. So there's a change in the tone here at verse 4. The word yea is a word that emphasizes a greater extent. Again, not only so, but. So there's more. So it's a word that emphasizes a greater extent. It also indicates the use of stronger and more emphatic language. And you can't help but notice in verses 4 and 5, they're quite different than verses 1 through 3. Things are more detailed in verses 4 and 5. There's a greater depth in verses 4 and 5. Really, verses 1 through 3 is somewhat general. There's great truths, but he just basically states the general truth. And I believe as you read the psalm, following the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it seems like it builds an excitement as you read through it. It builds in wonder. It builds in confidence. I mean, there's a great confidence. Not that there's not a confidence in verses 1 through 3, but it seems like that confidence has grown by the time you get to verses 4 and 5. So there's a change in tone. There's a change in emphasis. More detail is given. And also at this point of the psalm, there is a transition in vividness. Again, the language is far more graphic in verses 4 and 5 than it is in verses 1 through 3. And most important, as far as transition goes, there's a change in David's language. There's a change in his language. In verses 1 through 3, David refers to the Lord in the third person. What that simply means is that he's talking about the Lord. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures," and so on. He's talking about the Lord. It is seen in the way he uses pronouns. He says he. When you say he, you're talking of somebody or about somebody. He says his. Again, he's talking of and about. But beginning with verse 4, going into verse 5, he refers to the Lord in the second person, meaning that he is talking to the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. We ought to talk about the Lord. We ought to talk of the Lord. But we need to talk to the Lord. And there are people who talk of the Lord that I doubt that they ever talk to him. But here in verse 4, notice the change in pronouns. He says, "Thou." When you say thou, you're talking to the person. He says, "Thy." And this continues down through verse 5. So he's gone from speaking of the Lord, speaking about the Lord, to speaking with the Lord. That transition must take place in our lives. If we're going to live the life of Psalm 23, there has to be a transition where we just don't talk about the Lord, but we talk to Him. And I've got news for you. In a time of trial, in a time of difficulty, talking about the Lord may help you some, but it won't help you a whole lot. You need to talk to Him. You need to talk to Him. So, again, you notice the change in pronouns. And this is why it's so important in Scripture to always be noticing how pronouns are being used. So there's a transition. It's at this point, verse 4, that there is a greater depth and meaning to the psalm. When you go from talking about to talking to, it's taken on an entirely different meaning. It's personal now. And people can quote the 23rd Psalm, they have no idea. You go to funerals and many times other denominations, people will stand and quote the 23rd Psalm, and I want to stand up and say, "Do you know what it means? Do you have any idea what you're saying?" And they don't. They have no idea, but it's beautiful. It's a beautiful psalm. But there's, for most people, there's no personal experience. If you were to just ask them, "What do you mean, the Lord is my shepherd? I mean, what does that mean to you?" They couldn't tell you. They have no idea. So hopefully we can talk about the Lord, but we also talk to the Lord. It's got to be personal. So, with the change in pronouns, he's now talking to the Lord. There's a greater depth in meaning. There's a greater depth in experience. There's a greater depth in relationship. So it is at this fourth verse that to me there appears to be a spiritual progression in the life of David. He has progressed. And the sad truth is that many of God's people never get to the plateau of verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 23. And therefore, they do not experience the overflowing cup that is mentioned in verse 5. In order to experience the overflowing cup, you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord. Again, you can talk about the Lord, and we need to. We ought to. But we need to do so realizing that there is a personal relationship. Again, it takes on entirely different meaning. The Lord is my shepherd. When you can really identify with my, it takes on a completely different meaning. So we have to get to verse 4 and 5 if Psalm 23 is going to be our life. So what is presented in this transitional point of the fourth Psalm? May I say, I've read many, 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 many commentaries on Psalm 23, many of them very good, but no one that I've read ever addresses the change that takes place in verse 4. And there is a marked change when you go from talking about to 2. There is a marked change, and we need to grasp that. The psalm becomes so much more meaningful. And again, it's a radical change. It's a life-impacting change. It's a life-altering change. It's something that ought to characterize our life. It ought to be a quality of the life of a child of God. So we want to begin looking at this fourth verse. First of all, we want to consider the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. First of all, that statement is indicative of the fact that the lives of God's people, the lives of everybody, consist of change. Change is implied by the word though. Though. That very word implies change. It implies the possibility of change. Yea, that is not only so, but though. So what I'm going to say, David is saying, is so, even though. Now the word though, of course, means despite the fact, even if. So the very word implies the possibility of change. Most people, even if their lives are horrible, change scares them. People get very comfortable in their circumstances, even if they're not good circumstances. I mean, it's really something to behold. But there's the possibility. And there, change is going on all the time. But there is a possibility of great transition in our lives every moment. Great change. A shepherd in Israel would lead his flock to different pastures at various times of the year. And he would do so for the benefit, for the well-being of the sheep. For example, the sheep would graze, or they must graze, in the lower altitudes in the cold winter months because of the cold in the heights. So in the winter months, the shepherd leads his flock down into the valley. And that's what's being spoken of here. The valley of the shadow of death. Again, a change has taken place in the life of that sheep. And the heat of the summer, the shepherd is going to lead his flock to the higher heights where it's a little cooler. So with the transition in the weather, in seasons, the sheep travel. The shepherd leads them. They don't do this on their own. The shepherd leads them. And they must travel through the valley in order to make these transitions. All through the Bible, we are instructed that great change can and will happen in our lives. Some of that change we might consider pleasant. Some of that change we might consider quite unpleasant. But there's a degree, if you have any sense, there's a degree of fear in change because it's not what you're used to. There's a comfort in what we're used to, even if it's a bad thing. I'm used to it. And you learn to adapt. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this makes it very clear, this change. In verse 1, there are four words descriptive of life upon earth. The four words are thing, to every thing, to every thing. That's an action, it's an activity, it's an event. That's always changing, all the time. The next word is there is a season. There's a season. A season is an appointed period of time. A season is a cycle. A season is an appointed period of time, a cycle in which these activities, in which these things and events exist. So the thing, to everything, there's a period to that. There's a cycle. In other words, they're under control. God, of course, is the one who controls them. So to everything, there's a season and a time. Now, there's a little bit of difference between a season and a time. A time is shorter than a season, but time refers to an appointed moment, an appointed moment. There is a cycle of the thing, and there is an appointed moment in which these activities and events occur. The very word season and time are indicative of change. Everything. But everything is subject to change because everything has a season. Everything has a time. And then the fourth word is to every purpose. To every purpose. So you have thing, season, time, purpose. Purpose here is referring to the happenings, the circumstances, and the incidents of life. To all of this, there is a season. We can all look at our lives And there have been many cycles. There's seasons. Seasons change. There's a time. Who's in control of the seasons? Who's in control of the time? God is. And He subjects everything and every purpose to these seasons and times. So, from these four words, we learn that life consists of a variety of actions. Life consists of a variety of activities and events, many different occurrences, many different circumstances and incidents. But they are all appointed within certain bounds called seasons and times. They all have their appointment. They all have a fence around them, a season, a time. He goes on to mention in verses 2 through 8, and we'll stop, 14 sets of opposites, 14 sets of contrasts and extremes. And it all speaks loud and clear of the change, the transitions that take place in life. But as the psalmist begins to state here in verse 4, no matter what the change is in life, no matter what the transition is in life, it doesn't change a thing about verses 1 through 3. None of that changes. All of that remains the same. And many times, the mistake that God's people make, the mistake we all make, is we get so focused on what has changed that we fail to focus upon what will never change, the Lord. And that's where we stay healthy spiritually, is focusing upon that which will never change. It never changes that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. No matter how many seasons my life goes through, no matter how many different times there are, nothing changes, nothing alters. The Lord is my shepherd. Nothing alters that. So I guess it comes down to what we choose to focus upon. And again, things will happen and people get all up in arms. I mean, it's like the world is coming to an end. Their life is over. But they forget. Life consists of seasons. There's cycles. You've already gone through untold, innumerable cycles, and you come out of them. That's life. It's life in creation. It's life for us. But we focus upon the wrong things, and people make foolish decisions based upon a season. A season. Because they fail to realize, they fail to focus upon what doesn't change, the Lord. We'll continue next week looking at verse 4. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for each one that's here today. We pray that You would meet each and every need that's present here today. We pray, Lord, that You would bless us. We pray that You would cause us to worship You in spirit and truth, that everything we say, everything that we do, be for Your honor, be for Your glory. Pray, Lord, for those that are lost, that You would save their souls this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.